Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Shalom, and welcome to the sixth program of His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout His entire Word. The difference is in that we now have a better sacrifice to take away our sins, which is Yeshua, who has taken all of our sins and punishment upon Himself, so that we could have a fresh start clothed in His righteousness before Yahweh our Father. John chapter 1 tells us, Yeshua is our Creator's Word made flesh. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua, Yahweh's Word made flesh, was able to heal His people 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua, His Word, is still able to heal His people today. If you have questions, please email us at hwh@hiswordheals.com. Each week's prayer time is patterned after the pattern that Yeshua taught in Matthew 6:9-13, with a focus on healing, while we pray in agreement with a variety of new scriptures each week. At the end of today's program, we will continue our series looking into the significance of the upcoming fall feasts, and especially the total solar eclipse of August 21st, marking the beginning of this year's 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But right now, let's take a few moments of silence to prepare our hearts to pray to our Father in Yeshua's name. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Elohim, Creator and King of the universe. You have blessed us with your Torah of truth. You have blessed us with the whole counsel of your living word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, through the completed work of Yeshua our Messiah, you alone have planted among us life eternal. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Elohim. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is one. Praised be your name, O Yahweh, and your glorious sovereignty for ever and ever. You said King David was a man after your own heart. David knew how to praise you and glorify your name, so we want to praise you as well with some of David's psalms. Today we will praise you in agreement with Psalms 102, 18-27, Psalms 104, 33-34, and Psalms 106, 47-48. Your word, Yahweh, says, This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise you. We want to be the people that you created to praise you, Abba. We are told you looked down from the height of your sanctuary. From the heaven did you behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare your name, O Yahweh, in Zion, and your praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve you. Yahweh, we pray that you would gather us together to praise your name, to be shepherded by our King and your Son, Yeshua, in righteousness and right ruling. When you weakened my strength in the way, you shortened my days. I cried out and said, O my Elohim, take me not away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old have you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But you, O Yahweh, are the same, and your years shall have no end. We will sing unto Yahweh as long as we live. We will sing praise to our Elohim while we have beings. Our meditation of you shall be sweet. We will be glad in Yahweh. Save us, O Yahweh, our Elohim. Heal us and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto your holy name, and to triumph in your praise. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye Yahweh. Father, we are a weak and needy people. Our flesh is weak, but in you our spirit is strong. We know that you already know our individual needs, Abba, and we bring those to you today, knowing that they are already being met because you have promised to provide those things we truly need. We trust and know that all things work together for good to them that love you and to them that are called according to your purpose. Romans 8:28. We also know that you know those that love you. Those that love you keep your commandments, we are told in John 14:15, which says, If you love me, keep my commandments. In John 15:10, Yeshua said, If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Yeshua is your word made flesh, Yahweh. He taught us your commandments, as you and he are one. Your word is one, and your commandments are one. 1 John 2:3 and 3:22 and 5:2-3. Tell us we know that we know you if we keep your commandments. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of you because we keep your commandments and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. And by this we know that we love your children when we love you and keep your commandments. For this is the love of you, Elohim, that we keep your commandments, and your commandments are not grievous or burdensome to us. However, we are weak, Father, and one of our biggest needs is to continuously be filled with your Spirit to lead us, teach us, and remind us of all the things that you have said, and to teach us to obey all that you command. In Deuteronomy 5:10, we are told that you show mercy unto thousands of them that love you and keep your commandments. We want to be among those thousands, Father. Thank you that you have mercy on us and forgive us when we fall short of your expectations. Thank you for the many chances you have given us and for your long-suffering and patience with us. We pray for the day, Father, when all of your enemies, which are our enemies, are put under the feet of Yeshua. But, Father, while there is still time for them to repent, we pray that our enemies would repent and turn and glorify you in the name of Yeshua, that we would be a light in this wicked world and turn many to you through the testimony of love, mercy, and forgiveness. Having mercy and forgiveness towards those that have wronged us is a difficult thing for us to do in our flesh, but we know that you will enable our spirits to forgive those who persecute us and mistreat us because Yeshua instructed us in Matthew 5:44 to love our enemies, bless them that curse us, do good to them that hate us, and pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. He told us in Luke 6:22, We are blessed when men shall hate us, and when they shall separate from us, and shall reproach us, and cast out our name as evil for Yeshua's sake. Nevertheless, Yeshua said to love our enemies and do good to those that hate us, and not to be surprised if the world hates us, in Luke 6:27 and 1 John 3:13, because the world hated him first, John 15:18. Father, that is what we want to do. Please bring to mind right now anyone that we have not yet completely forgiven, that we would pray for them right now, Father, and would let go of any hidden anger or unforgiveness toward them that might be in our hearts. We pray for them to be blessed with a revelation from you, that you would burden their hearts to repent if they have not yet accepted your gift of salvation through Yeshua. We not only pray that our enemies would be delivered from temptation and doing evil, but we also pray that you would deliver us as well, because we know, even now, the devil is laying a snare and walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Deliver us with remembrance of your word, that we would answer every temptation of the flesh with, "It is written." Deliver us also, Father, from the spirit of fear, which we know is not from you. When we find ourselves surrounded by our enemies, whether they be fleshly, spiritual, or physical ailments or diseases, we will obey Exodus 14:13 and stand still to see your salvation, O Yahweh. We will fear not, nor be discouraged. We will not be afraid of them, for you will not forsake or fail us. You, Yahweh, will go before us, and will be with us, and will not forsake us. We will not fear, neither will we be dismayed. We will be strong and of good courage through you and in your strength. Deuteronomy 1:21, 31:6, and 8. And Joshua 10:25. In you there is no fear. We want to be as Joshua and Caleb. We want to be of a different spirit, your spirit, wherein there is no fear. Heal us, O Yahweh, and we shall be healed. Save us, and we shall be saved. Jeremiah 17:14. O Yahweh, rebuke any curses of sickness, disease, or death that may have been pronounced over any of us, either recently or in the distant past. We ask that you would cast down any evil words that have been spoken to or about us, as well as any evil speech about someone else that may have come from our lips. We repent of them and rebuke them in the name of Yeshua. Please remove them from our memories, that they would be of no effect. Remove them from the universe. You are able to make them as though they had never been spoken. We reject any symptoms of any sickness, infirmity, or disease that may present themselves to our notice. We know these are just lies of the enemy trying to test our faith in you as our healer, and what you have promised us in your word, that you are Yahweh Rapha that heals us, that you would put none of the diseases of Egypt upon us, and that by Yeshua's stripes we are healed. It isn't because we don't deserve these infirmities, but instead we are healed and healthy because Yeshua already took our sicknesses upon himself in our place. Please do not allow the enemy to visit the sicknesses that Yeshua took from us back upon us. Increase our faith, Father, not in doctors, insurance, or the medical industry, but instead only in you and your Son and what you did through him 2,000 years ago. We have already been healed. We don't claim any symptom or disease as our own. We only believe that you have promised your faithful servants through Yeshua that you have healed us. Father, if there is anything in our lives that is leaving an open path for the enemy of our souls to attack us with curses or plagues, I pray that you would show those things that we need to repent of right now to us. Father, that we would turn back to you and that you would gather us under your wings of protection where we are safe and completely healed. And we look forward to your coming kingdom when Yeshua will return bodily with his saints to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. As promised, here is another little installment of what significance this fall's total solar eclipse could be for Yahweh's people around the world, and particularly in the U.S., where a rare total solar eclipse will be seen in its totality from one corner of our nation to the other, from west to east, a 70-mile-wide path of darkness traversing our nation, marking specifically the biblical date of Elul 1. This week, we will briefly recap what we discovered in previous weeks while filling in some additional supporting information, as well as adding more incredible parallels from His Word, which we can glean prophetic hints from. As previously mentioned, 70 miles wide is interesting in that, in Jewish thought, 70 represents the totality of the nations, as there were 70 descendants of Noah named in Genesis that begat the 70 nations of the world. It is also interesting that the totality of the eclipse will also traverse 12 different states. Could this also be pointing to all 12 tribes of Israel? 70 miles wide equals a warning to all 70 nations from which our current world descended. Across 12 states equals a warning to all 12 tribes of Israel from which all true believers are descended, spiritually or physically or both, which are scattered throughout all the nations of the world? Or is this all just a coincidence? As mentioned in the past few programs, the eclipse will take place on the secular date of August 21st, but its biblical date will be at the most 1 or 2 days prior to Elul 1 of the biblical calendar. According to the Hillel 2 calendar, the eclipse will specifically fall on Av 29, which is traditionally the day that Moses chiseled out the second set of stone tablets after the sin of the golden calf and before ascending Mount Sinai on Elul 1, where he remained for 40 days while Yahweh wrote upon them the commandments for the second time after the first ones were broken. Moses returned back down the mountain 40 days later on Yom Kippur. Elul 1 begins the last 40 days of repentance before Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement and or of Judgment, when our sins are either atoned for or we will receive just judgment for our sins according to Jewish tradition. When Moses came back down the mountain with the second set of tablets, he had a glowing or glorified face on Yom Kippur. Last week we noted that when Moses came down from the presence of Yahweh with the first set of tablets containing the word of Yahweh, he broke the tablets because of the sin of the people's false worship with the golden calf. This is a prophetic picture of the first time Yeshua came down from Yahweh's presence as Yahweh's word made flesh. His body, like the first two tablets, was broken for our sins. 1 Corinthians 11:24 tells us when he, Yeshua, had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, when Moses again came down from the presence of Yahweh with the second set of tablets containing Yahweh's word on Yom Kippur, his face was glowing or glorified. When Yeshua, Yahweh's word, returns at his second coming, likely also on Yom Kippur some year, he will not be broken and humbled as the first time, but instead will be glorified as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 10:1 says, "His face will shine as the sun." In further support of the theory that Yeshua will return some year soon on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, I will now present some additional biblical prophetic pictures throughout the word of Yahweh, starting at the very beginning. Isaiah 46:8-13 says, "Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am Elohim, and there is none else. I am Elohim, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory." So let's start at the beginning. Yahweh made a perfect creation. He sanctified the seventh day, and then Yahweh walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the evenings. Adam fell, Yahweh's physical presence left, and Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden. With the presence of Yahweh gone, mankind as a whole sinned with false gods and false worship for 4,000 years, from creation until the coming of Yeshua the first time 4,000 years later. When Yeshua came the first time, he found Israel and the world immersed in sin and false worship. His body was broken for the sins of the world, his creation. See the parallel with the creation of the nation of Israel at the crossing of the Red Sea. Sanctification of the seventh day, when Moses instructed Israel not to gather manna on the seventh day in Exodus 16:21-30. Moses, as Yahweh's representative, walked with Israel, teaching them Yahweh's rules. They murmured and complained and did not want to hear directly from Yahweh because they were afraid. Moses' presence left the children of Israel for 40 days when he ascended the mountain for the first time to get the first set of tablets. Israel, during the 40 days Moses' presence was no longer with them, sinned with the false worship of the golden calf. At Moses' return with the first set of tablets, a picture of Yeshua's first coming, he found Israel sinning with the golden calf in false worship. The first set of tablets were broken because of the sins of the nation of Israel, Yahweh's creation at the Red Sea. Moses ascends back to the presence of Yahweh, just as Yeshua, after he was broken, was raised to ascend back to the right hand of Yahweh. Moses came back down with the second set of tablets with a glorified face on Yom Kippur to lead Israel with the Torah on the second set of tablets through the wilderness toward the promised land. Will Yeshua come back down glorified on Yom Kippur to gather and lead his people through the wilderness toward the promised land during a time of regathering? Time will tell, but shouldn't we pay especially close attention to Yom Kippur and the 40 days of repentance leading up to it each year? As we know, Moses, however, did not get to lead Israel into the promised land. Joshua, or Yehoshua, did. It is interesting that Moses had a shepherd's staff in his hand when he was called to lead the people toward the promised land, while Joshua defeated Israel's enemies with a sword in his hand. We are told in Exodus 17:11-13, it came to be, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. We know that Moses had a shepherd's staff in his hand, probably making it even harder for him to hold up his hands. But Moses' hands were heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua, Yehoshua, defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Moses had a staff, Joshua had a sword. Also in Joshua 5:13-15, it came to be when Yehoshua, or Joshua, was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked and saw a man standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Yehoshua, Joshua, said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, for I have come as captain of the hosts of Yahweh." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did obeisance, or worship, and said unto him, "What is my master saying to his servant?" And the captain of the host of Yahweh said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is set apart, or holy." And Joshua did so. When Yahweh spoke with Moses from the burning bush and told him to take off his shoes, for he stood on holy ground in Exodus 3:5, he instructed Moses in the use of his shepherd's staff. Here in Joshua, we see that when Yahweh spoke to Joshua through the captain of the host of his army and told Joshua to remove his shoes because he was standing on holy ground, the messenger of Yahweh was wielding a sword in his hand. And we see throughout the book of Joshua that Israel defeated their enemies under Joshua's lead by wielding the sword rather than Moses' shepherd's staff. Let's look at this prophetic picture. Moses equals Yeshua's first coming as a shepherd to his people, leading them toward the promised land with a shepherd's staff in his hand, while Joshua, Yehoshua, led Israel into the promised land by the sword, defeating those that would try to prevent them from attaining their inheritance. And this equals Yeshua's second coming to lead his people into the promised land of our inheritance of his millennial kingdom at the end of the age, with a sword of judgment in his hand to defeat his enemies that would try to block his kingdom from coming and us from obtaining our promised inheritance. Next week we will look in more detail at the many parallels of Moses' dealings with and the deliverance of the nation of Israel in and through the wilderness, and the prophesied dealings and deliverance of the children of Israel through tribulation and trials since Yeshua's first coming up to his second coming in glory and vengeance against his enemies. Goodbye for now, and Yah willing, I look forward to praying in agreement with Yahweh's word with all of you again next week. Again, if this is your first time listening in, please download and listen to our preceding programs at www.hiswordheals.com. Until next week, blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
Oh Yahweh, how great are your works!